Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03 on Thursday afternoon, May 22nd. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Rob Hart. The iconic video game Pac-Man debuted on this day 45 years ago. We'll talk about its impact in our next segment. But right now, President Trump's tax and spending bill clears the House while there's fresh data today on home sales. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Gus Fauché, Chief Economist, PNC Financial Services in Pittsburgh. Gus, thank you for joining us today. President Trump calls it a big, beautiful bill. How do economists grade this spending bill that passed the House overnight and is now on its way for reconciliation with the Senate?
So I think that this bill is likely to support a bit stronger economic growth when the tax cuts start to kick in towards the end of this year or in 2026. At the same time, it substantially increases the federal government's long-run budget deficit. So that's putting upward pressure on interest rates, means more federal government borrowing over the longer term, which could crowd out private borrowing and result in slower economic growth.
Now, this is just the first step of many. It needs to go through the U.S. Senate. The Senate has to pass its version, and then the compromise combined version, once again, has to pass both houses of Congress. So there's a long way to go, and there are some things that may not be in the finished product, and there are some things that could be added to it.
That's right. You know, so the tax cuts could change. We saw an agreement to raise the cap on state and local tax deductions. That's the kind of thing that would benefit people in suburban Chicago, raising that cap, but that may not make it into the final bill. Questions about what happens with Medicaid and so forth. So there's still a lot to be decided over this bill.
Now, bond yields popped yesterday, and that is what led to that massive sell-off. When it comes to addressing these types of legislation, is it like the old quote from James Carville that the bond market really is the most powerful entity?
That's right. And, you know, for example, in April, when we saw bond yields increase with the concern about the tariffs, we saw the Trump administration take a step back. I don't think they're going to take a step back this time around, but certainly I think, you know, long-term borrowing costs in the United States are likely to be higher with this bill than without it, because it is adding to budget deficits, and that means the federal government will be borrowing more.
April home sales dropping to the slowest pace for that month since 2009, and that flies in the face of a lot of data and anecdata, as it were, that we were getting about people jumping into the housing market because, at least for a while, there was some easing in the 30-year mortgage rate.
Yeah, we've seen the 30-year mortgage rate move back up. It's close to 7% now. Affordability is still a significant problem. And also, I think that potential home buyers are concerned with what's going on with tariffs, and so they may be turning a bit more cautious, and that may be weighing on housing sales. The good news is that inventories are up, and so that's limiting price growth, and so that may help restore affordability over the longer run.
Gus Fauché, Chief Economist, PNC Financial Services in Pittsburgh. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, a legendary video game is marking an anniversary and also marking the beginning of a revolution in entertainment. We'll talk about that next.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
I don't know how many of you remember the old days of video games when someone either had to give you a quarter or you had to set up the console and make sure the TV was on channel 3 so you could hear this. That sound was the sound of my childhood, probably yours as well. It was 45 years ago today that Pac-Man made its debut in Japan. Let's discuss its influence with Doc Mack, owner of the Galloping Ghost Arcade in Brookfield in the western suburbs. Doc, thank you for joining us today. And chances are, Doc, in a world where Pac-Man was never developed, you would have one less business in Brookfield to worry about today.
Oh, absolutely. Pac-Man really started something big.
Now, there's also a Chicago tie to this as well, because the arcade game was a product of the Bally Midway, which was based in Chicago 4 decades ago.
It was. I've been very fortunate enough to talk to people that worked the line making all those cabinets, and they literally couldn't make them fast enough back then.
Now, I think this is not just an exercise in nostalgia talking about the anniversary of Pac-Man, because it really was, I think, in a very meaningful way, the beginning of a revolution in entertainment. Because if we look at our lives, we sleep for 8 hours, ideally. We work for 8 hours, ideally. And we take care of our families, and we go to and from work, and we make dinner, and we just get ourselves prepared for the day. So at the end, we have maybe two hours or an hour and a half of free time. And until Pac-Man came along, that free time was occupied by the books that you had, maybe records you may have had, or whatever was on TV at that time, or in the movies. But video games, ushered in by Pac-Man, introduced an entirely new category of entertainment.
They really have. It's just ballooned up. It's larger than the music industry now. It's larger than movies. So entertainment-wise, video games are pretty much the biggest earner that there is. It's everybody plays them, all ages, all demographics, and it's kind of the unstoppable force in entertainment.
And Pac-Man also began to demonstrate not only the power of video games as entertainment, but also video game franchises as a multi-platform property. I was at the Minecraft movie over the weekend with my kids, and I would imagine that I would be doing something else last Sunday afternoon if it were not for Pac-Man spawning novelty records like Pac-Man Fever and the Saturday morning cartoon show.
Yeah, it was really one of the first franchises that proved that you could take a character and make him more than just a single game IP. So it just went crazy after that.
And then, as someone who owns an arcade, I mean, hundreds of pieces of arcade equipment, including Pac-Man, probably going back to Pong, and then more advanced arcade equipment. Talk about the arcade business, because, you know, I'm not giving away my age, but when I was a kid, Aladdin's Castle at the Chicago Ridge Mall was the place to be as a video game arcade. Like, that was a place to hang out, and it probably supplanted other places to hang out. So talk about the Pac-Man and the development of the video arcade as a third space for kids.
Well, it's definitely evolved since the dropping quarters and machines, but it is definitely one of the things that has kind of perpetuated was that it's something to do for kids and families. It really brings a lot of families together, especially now showing their kids what they used to play and making it for, like, our arcade, where it's a free play door fee. It lets people spend the day together and just try all the games that they played back in the day.
How has Pac-Man evolved as intellectual property? Because, I mean, there's a new Nintendo Switch coming out, and the Super Mario Brothers are front and center as a marquee property for Nintendo, Sonic for Sega. How is, you know, is you know, Pac-Man, we all remember Pac-Man, but does Pac-Man still have, are they still coming out with new Pac-Man stuff in this day and age?
Absolutely. They keep evolving Pac-Man, and the original is always so iconic, but doing spin-offs like Ms. Pac-Man and Baby Pac-Man, and he's always been around. So being one of the first, there's so many iterations of him, and everybody kind of comes in at a different time and is introduced to Pac-Man. So, but he's really become iconic, and just there's no era that he hasn't been around for.
Doc Mack, owner of the Galloping Ghost Arcade in Brookfield, thank you for joining us today to talk about the legacy of Pac-Man, celebrating its 45th anniversary today. Coming up next, Chicago's lakefront is ready for another summer of activity and fun.
Compounding your interest with an economy of words, this is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
The Castaways Beach Club on Chicago's North Avenue Beach reopens for the season tomorrow. Let's talk about summertime on the lakefront with Anthony Stefani, owner of the Stefani Restaurant Group. Anthony, thank you for joining us today. Now, it's 49 degrees right now along the lakefront, Anthony. So maybe I'm in the mood for maybe some glue wine. Do you have any left over from Christmas for opening day tomorrow?
Right. Yeah, it's definitely not ideal, the weather at this time. But, you know, we still expect a good crowd. We actually did a little soft opening last weekend and had some live entertainment. So, you know, you just got to dress a little bit warmer, but still the best view of the city and the water. And, you know, we're excited to get going.
At the same time, though, I think we're Chicagoans, Anthony. We're hardy people. I'm a veteran of many a White Sox night game in April where it was 33 degrees in the sixth or seventh inning. And that didn't stop us from hanging out outside. So what's a little unseasonably cool weather along the lakefront in May to keep you from going to the lakefront?
No, absolutely. I mean, we know as Chicagoans, anything above 40 degrees is warm to us. You know, we have Tavern on Rush as well, and we know with the patio out there, all you need is a heater above, and people will sit out in, you know, the winter if it's above 40 degrees. So, you know, Chicagoans can handle the weather, and as long as it's not a blizzard and or below zero, you know, they'll come out. So we're excited.
And we also know that you can flip a switch and it'll be 85 degrees and sunny for weeks at a time before you know it. So what do you have planned for Castaways this summer to make 2025 a memorable one along North Avenue Beach?
Yeah, so as some people know, last year we did a little bit of renovation to the boathouse. And unfortunately, that kind of was the main priority and, you know, it was kind of a race against time to get open last year. So now it's really focusing on the experience and the customer and what the customer wants. So we're doing a lot of exciting things from music programming to we have a brand new menu launching this year. Worked on, you know, some more decor, different decor to really liven up the atmosphere. And so we really think this is going to be a fun summer, and we just can't wait to get started.
It's also remarkable, Anthony, what you can do with a building that looks like a boat. And you have the beachside menu. You also have day parties with DJs and private cabana service. It reminds me of South Beach in Miami.
Yeah, absolutely. So Castaways is actually where I grew up learning the business, working. We first opened in about 25 years ago. So it was back then the crown jewel, and there was no river walk. There was no rooftops really at the time. So we were the place. So we're hoping to get back to that and draw some more crowds back to North Avenue Beach and really give that experience of unlike any other place. And, you know, summer in Chicago, there's really no better city. So, you know, with the new programming and with the menu, and we really focused on giving a full experience, not just for, you know, tourists that come in, but locals as well.
Anthony Stefani, owner of the Stefani Restaurant Group, setting up the brand new season at Castaways on North Avenue Beach, which opens for the season tomorrow. Still ahead in Technology Thursday, the Amazon-backed company Anthropic is debuting its most powerful AI model yet. We'll talk about that.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart. Markets are higher today. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Tim Grisky, Senior Portfolio Strategist at Ingalls & Snyder in New York. Tim, thank you for joining us today. And the big story is the big, beautiful bill, the President Trump's spending plan, passed the House by the narrowest of margins overnight. It is on its way to the Senate. And Tim, when you're trying to assess the impact of a big piece of legislation like this that has yet to make it through the Senate and is yet to be passed by both houses of Congress in a compromise form, how do you try to analyze this for investors and your clients?
With bills like this and Congress in general, there's so much talk and there's so much change going on. To us, it really doesn't impact the markets in the long term. I always say we survive our politicians, and I think this is another example of that. Yes, you might see a little bit of different action and the selling and buying in certain securities over the next couple of days, but primarily it is the strength of companies that drive stock prices, and that's what we focus on.
Now, let's look back to 2017 when the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act was passed in the first Trump administration. And obviously, the end of the Trump administration, the first term, is marked by all of the COVID economic turmoil, the downturn, then the leveling off that took place in the second and third quarters of 2020. But before the COVID-19 Black Swan event, how did that piece of legislation impact the economy?
Well, it certainly had an impact on a number of individuals. I think overall, in terms of the impact on the economy, I think it was lost in COVID. And perhaps this bill will have more of an impact. It certainly appears like it helps the wealthy and does not help the poor part of our nation. But the trickle down effect of a bill like this hopefully pushes some of that benefit down to the working class. And I think that's, really what it's designed to do.
Bond yields popped yesterday deficit and debt concerns, and that led to a big sell-off in the second half of the trading day. Are we just essentially in a time now of elevated interest rates and we're going to have to get used to it, just as we got used to low or zero interest rates for nearly two decades?
Yeah, I think, you know, bonds are a big area of focus for the market right now. And, you know, I think the volatility we saw yesterday is evidence of that. And, you know, we've seen that sell off in bonds, and with yields reaching the highest level since October. Again, we learn to live with that. The market does. And, you know, hopefully we'll see those rates, you know, come down here. But there's so many issues out there, especially in the trade area. I think that the uncertainty of the market shows in these higher bond yields. And that's going to hurt things like housing. And we're already seeing that impact. Home sales are showing some signs of weakness. People don't want to transact. So that's the issue out there.
Now, it seems like with these issues present, if you set the uncertainty aside and eventually we get clarity on whether it's on trade or spending, we get some clarity. Markets always respond to conditions as they exist. So what are some ways in which markets can respond to what's going on right now, or how they have already responded to present conditions?
Well, I think they, you know, adjusting to changing conditions is what markets are all about. There will be an adjustment, and, you know, we'll live with these slightly higher rates that we're seeing right now. I think, you know, again, I come back to what is the stock market, what is the bond market, and they are financial markets reflecting the strength of companies and the strength of our economy in general. So the markets will adjust, and there will be opportunities.
Tim Grisky, Senior Portfolio Strategist at Ingalls & Snyder in New York. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next in Technology Thursday, OpenAI rival Anthropic debuts its latest product.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Technology Thursday. There's a global AI race underway, and the winner will dominate the future of tech, economics, and power. We welcome in Matt Wren, tech expert and founder of VRAR Chicago in Chicago. Matt, thank you for joining us today. And there are all sorts of new entrants into the AI race. And what is the latest and greatest? What is Anthropic?
Thanks for having me back, Rob. Well, Anthropic is a company that produces an AI service or an AI. So we should talk about the players, but Anthropic produces Claude. And Claude, I believe in on it. They have a couple different names for it, but Anthropic is another AI company. There's the main players right now. You've got Anthropic, you've got Google, you've got OpenAI and ChatGPT, you've got DeepSeek, which is the Chinese company, you've got Twitter or X producing Grok. So there's a lot of different players in the space, and they're all sort of racing to see who can be the fastest out there. But Anthropic, you know, the way that things stands right now, different tools are very good for different purposes. So for Anthropic, has actually been very good recently for if you're, you know, looking for coding assistance. Anthropic's a great tool for that. A lot of people were kind of using ChatGPT as sort of their chat bot to help them with writing or to help them with, you know, bouncing ideas off of, you know, resume review, things like that. Although Gemini has actually been very good for that. And there's a lot of news that came out of Google I.O. just a couple days ago about all of the ways that Google is starting to integrate Gemini and their AI tools into all the other services they provide. So there's a lot happening.
Now, you mentioned DeepSeek, and it was at the very beginning of the year. There was a massive sell-off in the markets on the news of the Chinese rolling out DeepSeek and what it meant as far as all of this CapEx spending on AI was concerned. Does the reality of DeepSeek several months later match the hype we saw back in January?
Well, so DeepSeek is another tool. It's another AI tool. So again, all of these companies are producing lots of different tools, lots of different sort of chatbots and agent frameworks. And DeepSeek was very powerful. What was really unique about DeepSeek was the fact that they managed to do a lot of the training on DeepSeek without using quite as many NVIDIA chips, which a lot of, you know, up until that point, everybody was sort of saying that the AI race really comes down to who's got more chips and who's got more power to produce the training. And DeepSeek sort of flipped that paradigm on its head a little bit by saying, hey, we produced this really powerful model that's comparable to ChatGPT, but without having access to all of these really advanced NVIDIA chips. And Google, you know, and their just announcements a couple days ago too, Google's not using primarily NVIDIA chips. They have their own, you know, their TPUs that they're using, which are, you know, custom to them. So what DeepSeek did that was very different was it sort of changed a lot of what people thought was really, if you want to put it, you know, the arms race of saying, well, whoever's got more GPUs is going to win. They just showed that no, programmatically using logic and programs and code, you can still be the winner of this race.
Now, for everybody who has, I think it's safe to say that if you spend any amount of time online, you have been exposed to AI or have been given the opportunity to play around with one or two or three of the AI programs that exist. It seems like you talk to the tech experts, though, their view of AI is almost quasi-religious. Either this is going to be a technology that will end humankind as we know it or reorder society as we know it. Is that a little too bold of a prediction versus what we're seeing right now?
I will say expect to start hearing the word singularity come up, which is, you know, this concept of the technology is just going to become all-knowing and frankly start to advance exponentially faster than humans can. But there's, you know, the way to think about this, it's any major technological advancement. AI is definitely a huge, huge, powerful one. Like, I think you will see AI transform things on the level of what the internet did, like when the internet came out, and frankly, possibly even more than that, just because it's going to allow us to have the ability to process and access and retain and manipulate information so much faster than we were in the past. Is it going to change everything? I mean, yes, it is. It's definitely a tool that is not, you know, the genie's out of the bottle. This is not going back in. This is going to change a lot of the things that we do that affect how we work, how we live. I mean, I got a phone call today from some service provider that was an AI chatbot, and I could tell it was an AI voice. In the near future, you won't be able to tell the difference. But ultimately, yes, I think this the technology is definitely going to change a lot of things. And what you're starting to see a lot of folks focus on is saying, okay, well, how much can we really focus AI on actually helping humanity versus like replacing workers? Because it does have the capability of doing stuff like that. And ultimately, you have to think about the long term effect of what does that mean if you're making so much more productivity that you ultimately don't need as many humans to do a lot of jobs. Somewhere, someone, you know, those. You can't create an economy that doesn't have anybody to buy things. So there's a lot that's going to happen here over the next several years.
Matt Wren, tech expert and founder, VRAR Chicago in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today. Join us at this time tomorrow for Entrepreneur Friday. And still to come, the Blackhawks have a head coach. What does this mean for the economy around the United Center?
Money talks as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The Blackhawks are adding a new piece as they try to push along their years-long rebuild. Let's discuss the team's hiring of a new coach with Jay Zawoski, podcast host and reporter, CHGO Sports. You can find him at allchgo.com. And of course, he used to work here at WBBM and, of course, at 670 The Score. So it's great to have you back, Jay. So the question, this may be more of a score question than a BBM question, but is Jeff Blashill the guy?
Well, that remains to be seen, and I know that's not a great answer. His one chance in the NHL, he was with the Detroit Red Wings for 7 years, led them to their last playoff appearance in his first season, but the following six were not good. But if you go back and look at the rosters the Detroit Red Wings had, they were horrible. That was when they were starting their rebuild, and Jeff Blashill was sort of the guy chosen to lead that, just like Luke Richardson was originally for the Blackhawks. I think the fact that he got 7 years to give it a try under Steve Yzerman is an encouraging sign. And serving 3 years, the last 3 years under John Cooper in Tampa Bay, who's widely considered the best coach in the NHL, can only help. So hopefully the second time around, he's learned some lessons and can be the right guy for this job.
We're coming up on the 10th anniversary of the last Blackhawks Stanley Cup win. And, you know, the Blackhawks, that run 2009 through 2015 before sputtering a few years after that, was transformative, not only for the United Center and for the West Side in general, completing the work as far as economic development is concerned that the Bulls had put in during the Michael Jordan era. Even with all these problems, are the Blackhawks still a draw?
Yes, the building was mostly full last year. There were a few games where, you know, you'd imagine like a Wednesday game against the New York Islanders wasn't going to, you know, fill people in the standing room section only. But most nights, pretty full. Most nights, the fans were there waiting for something exciting to happen. I do think the arrival of Connor Bedard has helped kind of soften the record overall, because every night he's going to do something that's going to bring you out of your seat, whether the puck goes in the net or not. Connor Bedard is a really exciting player to watch. But yeah, I don't think Hawks fans have waned, and I can tell when they win, the fans are really waiting to get back into the Blackhawks. And I think, you know, 2-3 years now, and I know it feels like forever, but in 2 or 3 years, they're going to be a really exciting, really competitive team.
Well, I'm sure, Jay, you and I both remember the old man Wirtz years, especially towards the end, and going to Friday night games at the United Center, and it was half full, and half the crowd were Cub Scout groups, and the other half were guys who were probably pickled in Chicago Stadium and moved across the street. So even now, the vibe at the UC is a lot different.
The vibe is a lot different. I think part of it, too, is especially for Blackhawks fans that really pay attention, the diehard Blackhawks fans that keep up with the prospects and things like that, they can see the light at the end of the tunnel. And Kyle Davidson, since taking over as GM, has been very clear in his plan that it's going to be painful, it's going to take a while, but he has stuck to that plan. He is the veterans he have signed. They've been on short-term deals. He has compiled draft capital and draft picks. A lot of those draft picks, I would say the vast majority of them, are thriving at whatever level they're at. And we've seen a lot of guys come up, Sam Renzel, Frank Nazar, Oliver Moore, and others make an immediate impact in the NHL. So the arrow's pointed up. I think the message here is the Hawks need to get that message to the more casual fan, because it feels like forever since the Hawks have been good, but this rebuild really began in 2022, and I think people need to keep that in mind.
Jay Zawoski, CHGO Sports, thank you for joining us today.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.